Proverbs 24. We'll read a couple of verses there and then turn over to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 24. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk mischief. Proverbs 23, verse 17 and 18. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou to fear the Lord all the day long, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. If you would please, Psalms chapter 37. And then we're going to wind up with Psalm 73, but look in Psalms 37, if you would please. Notice, if you would. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Psalms 73, if you would please. If your title have a title of this psalm, it says Prosperity of the Wicked. How many, anybody got that title of this chapter in their Bible like mine? Okay. Okay, one, two, the rest of you need to burn in order to get you one. Man, praise the Lord. But let's pray, Jesus, have mercy. Please. Just like you did over 2,000 years ago. When you laid out your life for us, Father, like you did when you ordained before the beginning of the world that the Son would die, Holy Spirit, have mercy, teach us tonight. Would you help our folks as you helped me this afternoon? In preparation of tonight. And Lord, again, be with our people, be with Miss Sally special right now tonight. Our hearts, hey, they're poor. Such a kind, sweet lady. A soul winner, a witness. Know she's not perfect, but she loves you, Lord. Be with her. In Jesus' name. Amen. If some of you ladies would like to step up tomorrow, I'm going to talk to them after church, and I'm sure Brother Jim, Miss Sally, but she probably needs to stay home tomorrow and rest if she's able to do that. So if somebody would like to step up, that would be good. If you help us there. We just read three passages of scriptures that say basically the same thing. And what they basically said was, don't envy sinners. While prosperity may be their portion, it may also be their poison. Let me say that again. While prosperity may be their portion, it may also be their poison. The Bible says, Proverbs 1:32, the prosperity of fools shall be destroyed. To be quite honest with you this evening, I myself have a hard time during times of prosperity than times of poverty. I think it's just natural that we depend less on God when everything's okay. If that makes sense. The Bible says that the rich fall into a snare. I've seen this many times. Let me say it now. I want you to listen. I've seen this many times. People with means are often not as cautious as those without means about doing with their life what God wants them to do. They make flippant decisions on what to do with their life without saying, Jesus, what would you have me to do? Without praying that prayer that our Lord prayed the night before he died when he said, Father, deliver me from this cup. He's talking about the cup of suffering. And then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. If you're not careful, friend, I say you, I'm talking about all of us. When we get to have a little bit of means, a little bit of prosperity, if we're not careful, we might make decisions. We listen. We may make decisions that will draw us and pull us away from God's will for our lives. I don't know whether you noticed it or not. No matter how much a person has, it will all fade away and vanish like grass has done in the last few weeks. Praise God. Although I have mowed just as many leaves, acres of leaves, the last 2 days as I have acres of grass. But I ain't mowed no more till about April. Praise God. Amen. Amen. No matter how much they have, it has a tendency to fade away and vanish away. Like grass withers and dies. A lot of times, whatever's left over in people that have means, whatever's left over, their family is in a great divide, a great division over what mama and daddy left. Not always, but oftentimes that's the case. Brothers and sisters quit talking. They're mad because somebody got so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. You know, those that follow God live differently than the people in the world. While prosperous sinners stuff, and I parenthesize the word stuff, while prosperous sinners stuff may last a lifetime, we that follow God are laid up treasures in heaven that will last forever, not just a lifetime, but forever. Let me read this letter to you. Young people, listen. Dear Pastor Tad Block, it's been a very long time, but God, I'm going to read it as he wrote it. But God has put you on my heart I pray he has kept you and your family shrouded from this pandemic. Things are about the same. I'm in Clinton now. It's a pretty good camp. So far, I've been safe from the COVID. I've lost my parents and all supporting family members, but I just keep my faith in God. I do have an attorney looking into my case. He seems optimistic. I hope he can help, God willing. I turned 36 last month. I feel old now. Anyway, I just wanted to touch base and see how you're doing. How's your fellowship in his service? And he signed his name. Let me tell you a little bit about this young man that wrote me that letter. As he told you, he's in Clinton in a camp. He's not talking about a hobo camp. He's talking about prison. He was a young man who was no doubt the envy of all of his buddies. When he got his driver's license, he received a brand new truck, credit card, insurance paid, money, and all that with no job. He was a spoiled brat. He's in prison for shooting his buddy over 50 times. To my understanding, he'll be in prison the rest of his life. You've heard he's lost his parents to death since he's been in prison. And all the supporting family members, his siblings, all of them half-brothers, they all had the same mama, but he had a different daddy. He was his daddy's only boy. His daddy is the one that spoiled him. His daddy is the reason he's in prison for the rest of his life tonight. Even I stopped visiting because of his attitude. After reading the letter today, maybe I'll see him again soon, one day when it opens up. Now look at Psalm 73, if you would please. I want to give you some thoughts about, don't envy sinners. Don't envy the prosperity of the wicked. Now let me say this. This is not a message against materialism. This is not a message against people having money, material things, new cars, nice houses. Listen, if God has given you those things and you love him and you serve him, enjoy them. Realize where you got them from and enjoy them and give him all the glory. Amen. This message is not on materialism or money, but it's on envying sinners. Notice, if you would please, number one, I got four thoughts here. You may want to write them down. Number one, don't be disturbed by their prosperity. Look at verse 3, if you would please. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Look at verse 5. they're not in trouble as other men, talking about the wicked. Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compassed them as a chain, violence covered them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart can wish. Material things. But notice they are corrupt. Speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily, or they're full of pride. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. I said, number one, don't be disturbed by their prosperity. The Bible says he reigns on the just and the unjust. God may have saved you and I from a lot of heartache. Remember the verse I mentioned in my introduction. The Bible says the rich falleth into a snare. I'll just use him. Donald Trump's got snares in his life I don't have and won't ever have. And what that many of you don't have and won't ever have. Amen. Why? Because he's rich. He's rich. He's filthy rich. But don't be disturbed by their prosperity. Then the second thing, don't be distracted by their prosperity. Look in verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Notice, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. What do you mean, preacher? He'd been distracted by their prosperity until he went to the sanctuary of God and saw this life ain't all there is. You understand that, don't you? If this Bible is God's word, if this Bible is true, God didn't put us here to live for here and now. Our lives for here and now. He put us to live for eternity. Don't be distracted by the prosperity. Don't desire to trade places with them, because one day they will probably more than likely want to trade places with you. But then it'll be too late. It'll be too late. So number one, don't be disturbed by their prosperity. Don't be distracted by their prosperity. Number three, verse 18. But surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou casted them down into destruction. I wrote this down. Don't be destroyed by their prosperity. Their life is on ice. How many has ever hit ice with your car? Unexpectedly. Oh boy, that's slippery. In Bible college, I had a fellow, he was from Michigan. We were talking one night, and you can take what he said for truth or not, it doesn't make any difference. But he said, when you hit ice on the road, put it in neutral. He said the car will straighten out. Don't turn the wheels. Don't hit the brakes. Just put it in neutral. It wasn't 2 or 3 weeks later, my wife and kids, we were going home one night, and we hit a dark spot in the road and hit that ice, and man, our car was doom, doom, all over the road. I remember what that boy said. I put my car in neutral. Straighten out. They're living, folks, on slippery ground. We that are following Christ, we're on the rock. Amen. And real quickly, don't be destroyed by their prosperity. Look at verse number 19. 73, verse 19. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. Don't be desolated by their prosperity. Don't let their prosperity draw you into seeking prosperity to where you forget God and the things of God. The word desolation, I looked it up. It means left alone. If you're not careful, friend, you'll be consumed about the prosperity of the wicked. Let me tell you what happened to a Christian that gets consumed about the prosperity of the wicked. Listen to this. Young people, listen. Mama, daddy, listen. They get consumed with the prosperity of the wicked. They become lukewarm in their Christianity. And let me just tell you something about lukewarmness. They don't fit in anywhere. They don't fit in with the world because they're saved. In their heart, they know Jesus, and they know they didn't live for him. But by the same token, they don't fit in with the church because they are so worldly minded, they're no heavenly good. I see it all the time. One foot in church, one foot in the world. That's miserable living. Let me just tell you, friend, I hate a busted bubble, but serving Jesus takes commitment. Amen. Takes commitment. You become lukewarm in your heart. You become empty. You become alone because you don't fit in with the world. And you don't fit in with the church, and you just become alone. I've been there. Saved. Trying to get back to the world, things of the world. I didn't fit in either place. I tell you, friend, when I got right with God, if I'm right with God, When I rededicated my life to Jesus Christ, I made a commitment. Hell or high water, thou fat or thou skinny, I was going to serve Jesus. Amen? And it ain't always been easy. I changed my sleeping habits.
Amen.
Jesus changed your sleeping habit. Yeah, he sure will. You go to bed tonight so you can get up in the morning and walk with him. Amen. I'd change my friendships. Actually, when you get right with God, you don't have to change your friendships. Emmanuel, I thank you, darling. They'll change your friendship with him. That's how they don't want to be around you anymore. Because you done gone off on the deep end.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Well, we need some people going off on the deep end. Amen. I'm going to read this to you. I'm through. I got 11 minutes. We'll be out of here in a few minutes. At least 11 minutes. This is by Tony Evans. Brother Kevin, I want to thank you for allowing me to do this book.
Amen.
Amen.
Good, amen.
Can I have it if you die?
Sure.
Denise? Yes. He don't really give me Walmart distribution if he dies. He said you can have it.
You can have it.
He said you can have it. Tony Evans. While I was going through seminary, I worked at Trailways bus station, one of the buses. I worked on the dead man's shift from 11 at night until 7 in the morning. When I came to work there, I realized the guys had a scam going. I realized that a guy would punch out for lunch, then have his buddies punch him back in when in reality he was going to sleep on the job. Each guy would get his turn. The other guys would cover for each other and wait their turn to get their 3 hours of sleep or something. Oh, good idea, Kevin, right? Put simply, they were stealing. It was theft. They had agreed to work for 8 hours, but they were stealing a few hours every night from the company. As I'd been around a few days, one of the guys came to me and asked me which part of the night shift I wanted to take for a long break. He explained the system to me, how long I could take and who I was to punch in. When I told him I couldn't do that because I was a Christian, what I thought would be a great witness and opportunity didn't go over too well. These guys all decided to teach me a lesson. Listen. When the buses would show up during the night and needed to be unloaded and unloaded again, the other guys wouldn't show up and help me. I found myself loading and unloading buses by myself. That situation was hard. It was very painful, both emotionally, knowing that people were against me, as well as physically, because it was a lot of work. And on top of all that, I still had to, after work, go to class. Remember, he was in Bible college. He said it was rough. About 6 months into this, I got a call to the office, the Trailways office. The supervisor said, unbeknownst to the night crew, we have had various night supervisors come down and observe the activities. We are aware of the scam. We've also noticed that you haven't participated and have not been supported when the buses came in. We would like to offer you the opportunity to become the supervisor for the night shift, and we will double your salary.
Amen.
My enemies became my footstool. God is watching. Some of the greatness comes in time. Most of it comes in eternity. If you want to be great, take advantage of every opportunity to serve for the benefit of others to the glory of God. Don't envy sinners. That's the moral of the story there, by the way. Don't envy sinners. Does the payday come? Does the reckoning day? You may not see it, but it'll be there. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Amen. Be sure your sin will find you out. Folks, listen to me. God wants us to serve Him. Don't be disturbed by the prosperity. Don't be distracted. Don't be destroyed. Don't be desolated by the prosperity of the world. That's fire is, if you will.